I want God's way to be my way. I sight Jenny here below. For there is no other highway.
Shalom and welcome to Reflections on Faith podcast. And with me is Brother Jesse Nzima. And welcome, Brother Nzima.
Thank you, Pastor. God bless you.
Yeah, and one of the things you mentioned during the sermons you shared with us during the blessed 3 days of glory meetings we had, it was a message on life as an overcomer.
Yes.
And you mentioned about hurdles, which usually come in the way of believers to discourage them,
yes,
to hinder them. And one thing you talked about in that sermon was about marital challenges.
Yes.
And that is profoundly important, Brother Nzima.
Yes.
There are many marriages which are falling apart.
Yes, yes.
And some of these marriages which are falling apart, it's not of backsliders. It could even be of
believers.
Believers, people who seem prayerful, but somehow things are not working out right.
Yes.
And however, many times when people are prayerful, the Spirit of God leads them. I mean, they'll have a successful, wonderful marriage.
Yes.
And that's not what we're talking about. Brother Nzima, we are looking at something which is beginning to become very common.
Yes.
Where young people, especially as they go in universities,
yes,
they become exposed to a kind of a world which is different from that in which they were raised up in.
Yes.
And with time, you have a youthful population in congregations which begins to see nothing wrong with being unequally yoked with an unbeliever. And sometimes it gets so bad that one can simply try to dress up a colleague to look like a believer. As soon as the marriage happens, then problems begin. And so people have different sets of values. With time, the marital problems begin to affect their faith.
That's right.
And sometimes it could be a Sunday service. People are singing. And this young man also feels he is a believer, participates and does all those things. But yet, outside there, he has a secret love life, which sadly may even involve things like fornication,
yes,
having a girlfriend, and some young people even engaging in sex before marriage. And well, when it's a Sunday morning, one is still able to sing from only believe. Tell me something, Brother Nzima, about these things which are going on.
Yeah.
What is causing that? And what are the dangers when now one later on becomes married, unequally yoked with an unbeliever?
Yes. So let me look at it this way, Pastor. Before one gets married, one is in marriage. There's some things that are required. Before one gets in marriage, the priority is for them to be spiritual. That's the first thing.
Yeah.
Of course, they can be of age. They may need to understand this. But that is not the priority. The priority is to be spiritual. You see, the desire to seek for a partner, it's the Lord who has put it there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not wrong.
Yeah.
When you are of age, you have a right, for lack of a better term, to lead, to have someone whom you can choose. And it's your choice. That's the grace God has given us.
Yeah.
But that choice should be subjected to God's will.
Mm.
When you are aligned with his will, now remember, it's not desperation. You go this side, you look for this. You seek the Lord.
Mm.
And everything else, because you have a desire,
yeah,
will line up.
Mm.
Now, once that lines up,
mm,
God will make sure you meet the right person. Someone who has what you have.
Mm. You see, you've mentioned an important word, priority. Yes. You know, when I look at things which are obsessing the young mind today,
mm,
if it's a young man who is looking out for a wife, you know what, yes, the priority is? He looks out for, I need someone who is working.
Yes.
I need someone who's been to university.
Mm.
I need someone who looks pretty, beautiful,
mm,
classy.
Yes.
Oh, my.
Because they spend time in that anointing.
Mm.
So the Holy Spirit in them is suppressed. He is speaking, they can't hear him.
Yeah.
Now, because they are exposed and they are yoking with these people who they think are their friends,
mm,
the spirit dies down. And that thing, it robs you of your joy.
Yeah.
You see.
And you know what? Society, yeah, changes from time to time.
Yes.
But the values of God's word never change.
No, they don't.
And, you know, in Zambia, was it last year when they released the statistics, staggering figures of the high divorce rates.
Mm, mm.
If you look at our country, well, it's a developing country. It's a poor,
yes,
country.
Yes.
But Western lifestyles are really having an influence.
Yes.
Young people watch things they see in movies,
mm,
and or whatever lifestyle shows, you know, they expose their minds,
mm,
to.
Mm. Yes.
And they begin to live a fictitious life.
That is true.
Which has fake expectations.
Yes.
And so this creates a desire in them of something which is vain.
Mm.
So you look at young people, they end up getting in marriage without a proper foundation of,
yes,
what is this thing they're getting into?
Yes.
Who started it?
Yes.
Why are you getting into it?
Mm.
You know, for what purpose? Is it because your hormones have reached a place where now you can also procreate?
Mm.
If that is the sole reason, you're not different from an animal. You're not, yes, different from a dog, because, yes, a dog mates for simply to procreate.
Mm.
For human beings, there is a greater, higher purpose.
Yes, yes.
And it is connected to God.
Mm.
Anything outside that is vain.
It is vain.
And so, I believe marriage should start on the foundation of God.
Mm.
But look at a young man today when he's getting married. Do you know where most resources are spent today? Mm. They are spent on how much will the wedding venue cost?
Yes.
Who will be the entertainer? What do they quote? Is it a moderator or something?
Mm. Master of ceremony.
Master of ceremony. Here in Zambia, it has become a tradition. You need to pick someone funny.
It's popular, yeah.
Someone who makes jokes.
Mm.
And those are things, really, which are on...
Yeah, it has to be that expensive cake.
Yeah, expensive cake.
You can
cake.
Eat for a year.
Uh-huh.
Till maybe your very first child is born.
Yeah, very, yeah, expensive. And you also hire a wedding gown.
Yes.
Very expensive.
Don't forget the cars.
Yeah, the cars. You know, many times, yeah, people who hire out very expensive Porsche cars and something one doesn't even own.
Yes.
Now, you can see the marriage event is really built around vanity.
Yes.
You know, and it's just a one-day event, and then God is hardly in the picture. You've noticed usually you have a church service and a reception.
Yes.
Most people want to attend the reception where, yes, there's dancing, eating food.
Yes. Yes.
But do you know the most important event is at church?
Yes.
When they're declared husband and wife in the presence of God.
Yes.
But
so, so now, Pastor, so that's what happens. Now, because of that atmosphere,
yeah,
you forget. The Bible talks about real beauty in a woman.
Mm-hmm.
It's character.
Character.
Now, because you are carnal,
mm,
You interpret beauty through Hollywood.
Yeah.
You see that? But when you are in his presence, the value that is around you, the beauty that is around you, you're going to see the real beauty in a woman. The real beauty is that peaceable, quiet spirit.
True.
That's what the Bible talks about.
Mm.
I'm not saying you shouldn't have a preference. Well, you can choose. You can. There could be many sisters. You can like one. But the priority should be the word of God. Now, once you come in, you make that decision.
Mm.
What do you do? You die. You become humble.
Mm.
When I mean die, you humble yourself. Because now, Pastor, these are two people, two histories, two families coming to, sometimes two egos, because we're human beings, coming together. Now, most people don't realize two egos coming together, they can't attract.
Mm.
Okay, so what happens? You need the glue.
Yeah.
This glue, that's the Lord coming in between.
Mm.
So if I don't like what I see in my wife, I will not go to the extent of abusing her using bad language or physical abuse or pulling out. Why? Mm. There is the glue that will put me back. The fear of the Lord will put me back. What I've learned in the scriptures, the Bible talks about being humble. The Bible talks, don't be angry until the following day.
Yeah.
Now, when two people come without the glue, it's a matter of time. That thing is going to fall.
You're mentioning two people. You know, I've heard preachers say, God's mathematics is 1 + 1 = 1. And I've always said, no, God is the author of mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
And nowhere has he taught 1 + 1 = 1. What the scripture says in Genesis chapter 1 verse 24, yes. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So 1 + 1, even in divine mathematics, if we can quote that way, 1 + 1 = 1, but 1 and 1 can become 1. Okay, in mathematics, how can you make 1 and 1 become 1 and not 2? Well, what you need to do is kill a half part of that 1 so that you just remain with half.
Yes.
The other 1, kill the half part.
Yes.
So that a half dies out of 1.
Mm.
A half dies out of 1. So what you have is half plus half. And that is going to make 1.
1.
So that means when you're getting in marriage, a part of you has to die.
Mm. It's not always about having your way. Yeah. It's not always like that.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
A part of you dies.
Mm.
And not just dying to issue of tension over decisions and all that. But there has to be humility, which is characterized by a Christ-like life. Yeah. And you mentioned about two histories.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage is a process. It's not a one-day event.
Yes.
Yeah. You go through a process.
Mm.
If there's a place where you'll be really tested, your humility will be tested.
Mm.
It's in marriage. And it becomes a beautiful experience if the two of you are under the umbrella of Christ.
Yes.
It becomes a real joy. It becomes an experience where you can learn to grow together in Christ. Now, yes. Brother Nzima, coming back to the core of our topic.
Yes.
You know, when God was talking to Abraham, he said, I can't hide this thing from Abraham, seeing he will be able to raise his family in the way of God.
Yes.
And that was the purpose of God starting a family in Eden. He wanted sons of God, sons and daughters of God. When you get in marriage, you have a privilege to bring about a family which should serve God, you know. And when that is not in the picture,
yes,
when you take God out of marriage, you need to ask yourself, what purpose remains?
There's no purpose.
Only carnality remains.
Yes.
It means someone has gotten married to satisfy sexual desire.
Mm.
You can't reduce the experience of marriage just for sexuality. That is why a lot of young people, they get married, but they still have an appetite outside their holy matrimony.
Yes, yes.
One begins to cheat on the wife, or the wife begins to cheat on the husband.
Yes.
What we need to learn is any journey without a goal or a destination will see any road that appears as a path you can take.
Yes, yes.
But a person who knows his destination, it's very easy for him to know which roads to avoid. Okay, because he knows the destination they are on.
I think, if you remember, it should have been some 15 years ago. I had a lot of questions that time because I was not married. And I was trying to probe, to say, how do you match marriage? How do you find a partner? Is it someone who's working, if you're working? Is it someone who is... And I remember I asked a number of questions, and there's an answer you gave me, which I would call, for me, I've called it the mathematics of marriage. You mentioned, you said, look at this. Marriage is very simple, but you have to understand that a non-believer together with a believer, there is a bad marriage. But a believer plus a believer, there is marriage, which is good marriage.
Yeah.
That is the basic principle of marriage. And then, from my experience, I've come to picture marriage like a one-roomed house, which has a door. Now, this is a strange thing about it. This is one-roomed house, no windows, no air vents, but it has a door. When you enter into that door, surprisingly, behind it, when you're inside, there's no exit.
Yeah.
It's all closed up. So I do not enter into that house with an exit strategy.
So a fellow who gets in, he realizes, oh, there was a door and I was getting in, but as I'm inside, there's no door, there's a wall.
Yes.
So if you want to come out, you're going you to have to break your hammers.
You have to break that room. There's no two ways about it.
That's destroying it.
So that's destroying it. And you are never the same, because every room is specially designed for you. So that is how marriage is. That is why we are not enthused with anniversaries. 5 years in marriage. 60. Why are people so happy with the 5 years in marriage?
Hey, you're right now people celebrate anniversaries. 1 year anniversary, and it's an achievement.
Look at this, Pastor. This is a person, so many times we've seen it, 6 months into marriage, they're calling you. I'm tired of this man. Look, I've been married to my wife for 14 years. I'm not tired. You've been married for 6 months. What do you mean? Why? Because there are so many cracks. But the beauty of it, God is able to mend.
Amen.
And marriage is not just, of course, you have to be spiritual, but you also have to have knowledge. The Bible says, for lack of knowledge, my people perish. That is why for us men, there's that part in the scripture which says, when you live with your wife, live with them according to knowledge. What does that mean? It's like you're living with a child.
That's very important.
When you're working with a child, Pastor, when you're working with a child on the road, you can walk with the child, you let them walk on their own, but you are very mindful.
True.
Anything that happens, you hear a car coming, you lift the child up. So you're not just walking like you're walking with your fellow adult. That's how it is. Live with your wives according to knowledge.
According to knowledge. And you know, many times when you get into counseling sessions, you realize that a number of problems encountered could be poor social intelligence or emotional intelligence. Let me not mix up the two. There's social intelligence. There's social intelligence.
Yes.
And this is having an ability on how you relate with people, you know.
Yeah.
How you relate with the relatives of the man, your own relatives.
Yes.
And all that. But these are the type of intelligence we call emotional intelligence. The ability to know that I think I'm getting angry.
Yes.
And this is not right. I need to control myself. maybe this thing I want to argue about, I can talk about it another time when my emotions will be a bit stable.
Yes.
The ability to regulate your emotions, that's emotional intelligence.
That's right.
Now, one can have a very high IQ, very smart and intelligent. They can solve mathematics, but having very low emotional intelligence. And the Bible speaks about these things in the book of Proverbs.
Mm. Yes.
Where it talks about him who is able to, you know,
rule his spirit.
You know, that's about you are able to manage your emotions.
Mm.
And when you say dwelling according to knowledge, there are certain problems, Brother Nzima, they'll be sorted out based on what you know and how to handle things.
That's right.
Yeah. So one needs to have emotional intelligence. Apart from that, one needs to have good financial management skills.
Yes.
Because a home is an economic unit.
Yes.
When you go out, you have money, you bring this income in the home. How is it spent? There are children who have their demands, your wife.
Yes.
And all that. The wife also who's given this little money, how wise is she in spending the little the husband has given her? Terrible, ugly arguments can explode out of poor financial management in
the
home.
That is true.
Or out of luck. And people who are in love suddenly become emotional, and something which has been triggered because of a certain financial challenge can lead to emotional outbursts, which can lead to people injuring each other on other peripheral things.
Yes, yes.
But yet, conflicts in marriage have this tendency where something starts out of a certain angle, but it spills over into something which wasn't part of the topic of discussion. So you have these circles, the emotional intelligence circle, financial management circle. And if a man, for example, and this can be very common, Brother Nzima, in African societies, obviously each country has its problems, but in these places we go to, as people convert, you know, give their lives to Christ, we teach them on how to live their lives with their wives and children, knowing that if I have a child, he or she is my responsibility.
Yes, yes.
I need to take care of my children. I need to take care of their education. They need to feel the presence of my love.
Yes.
And during your preaching, you mentioned the scripture, Ephesians 5, verse 22. Maybe we can end with that.
Okay.
You can say something about that. I'll read it for you.
All right.
Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22.
Mm.
It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. You mentioned something about this during the preaching.
Yes.
About the role of a wife.
Yes.
Tell us
so
something.
So the role of a wife is to submit. Now, many people don't realize that God has hidden a secret in quietness in a woman. There is something about a woman when she's quiet and she's submissive. Even when she knows that the husband is wrong, if he justifies himself, she takes her role as a woman, humbles herself. Believe you me, your husband won't sleep. He'll come apologizing. But the greatest mistake a woman can make, you raise your voice.
You raise your voice, your husband is talking, you are answering back.
You see, a man, there's one thing about him. There's a special ego God has put in your husband. He just wants you to respect him. That's it. So when you do that, it's natural for him to love you.
And Brother Nzima, a God-fearing woman won't just do it because Brother Nzima has mentioned it.
No.
A woman who is well-mannered,
yes,
will have what Paul calls shamefacedness.
That's right. That's it.
Humility.
Yes.
I mean, it flows naturally out of a godly woman.
Yes.
She won't try to be humble, but yet having pressure in her heart to say, I wish I can speak out, but anyway, the scripture says I shouldn't.
Yeah, that's true.
That's not what we're teaching people.
Yes.
So if one has this kind of an attitude where she despises the husband.
Yes.
Very controlling. You know, there are women like that.
Yes.
It's a terrible spirit. And that person needs the Lord to help them.
Yes.
To give them a meek, humble spirit.
Yes.
Because God has given the headship to a man.
Mm.
You know. And, you know, Brother Branham, one time, I think that is somewhere in the COD, where this sister, the husband goes to a certain church and somehow...
Yes.
The church the husband was going to was a denomination which wasn't exactly right in terms of scripture. I mean, like all denominations.
Yes.
But this wife saw the truth in what, you know, the ministry was preaching.
Yes.
And so she had a desire for the husband to be going where he goes and her should be going to this particular place. And Brother Branham says, no. As a woman, you're supposed to be under your man.
Yes.
You know, out of respect and humility, you go where he goes, but you may not be part of that system.
Yes.
But what is right is for you to go where your husband goes.
Yes, you're in the right place. Yes, yes.
And a woman becomes such a sweet fragrance through the spirit of humility, meekness. Yeah, and that is what really beautifies her.
That's what beautifies a woman.
Yeah, but godly men, on the other hand, does not mean they are people who abuse their wives using their authority. You know, I'm a man and tramping down your...
No.
Over your wife, because the scripture doesn't end here.
It asks men to love their wives.
Verse 23, for their husband... is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. I love the type Paul uses. If you're a woman and you're listening to this, think about how you relate with your husband.
Yes.
Do you think that's how you would relate with Christ? Remember, Christ is the husband of the church.
Yes, yes.
And that's the exampleship we're being given.
Yes.
And now, for husbands, love your wives.
Yes.
Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it.
Amen.
Say something about this. This is now the role of a husband.
One thing you see in a woman.
Mm.
A woman is like a garden.
Mm-hmm.
You have your plants. Okay? Someone can tell you, okay, there's a garden. If you don't water them, they won't hide it.
Mm.
They'll show you. So, women... you can easily see those who are not watered, they are not given attention, they are not loved, they are not cared for. You see it. So when you love your wife, the submission is natural, it will flow. That's how it goes. You don't demand for it. So love is the greatest gift that puts everything in place. You see, most of the marriages, Pastor, have realized where you find problems. Mostly you realize the man is weak. Spiritually, it's questionable. There are a number of instances are like that. Because, you see, a snake is the head. That's a snake. If you chop off the head, I don't care how long it is. I don't know how scary the coils could be. It's useless. Amen. But if the head is alive and you've hit it on the tail, it can still bite you.
Yeah.
So... Satan targets a man. He's not spiritual. He doesn't do his job. Loving your wife doesn't mean you're lavish her with gifts and all that. But you are in a God-given position. Then everything else is going to flow. She will submit. I don't care how stubborn she is. But if there's love, because the Bible tells me love never fails.
One important thing you bring out.
Yes.
A man should take headship. The headship of a man is not... just about these carnal physical things.
No,
as you sit, your wife is serving you food.
Yes.
Headship means leadership.
That's it.
You're supposed to take a lead in giving spiritual guidance to your family.
Yes.
Okay? Cultivate a spiritual atmosphere in your home.
Yes.
Your wife shouldn't be more committed to prayer and attending.
That should not be allowed.
Fellowship.
It should not be entertained. Yes.
And as a man, you always give excuses of, you know, I'm busy at work and your spiritual life is very dry.
Yes.
Spiritual leadership should come from you. You should be able to give spiritual guidance to your family. If that is missing, sooner or later, things can seem to be peaceful, but you're not providing that spiritual guidance.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that brings us to the end of the podcast. Let me just pray for a husband and a wife. Maybe you're going through a certain challenge.
Yes.
If you're listening to this as a couple,
yes.
Can you just hold your hands together? You can kneel down on the floor, thank wherever you are.
Amen.
Or you can be seated, but reverently. Just have the faith and agree with me as I pray for you. Heavenly Father.
Yes, Lord.
In the beginning, you say the two shall become one flesh. And marriage is supposed to be a wonderful, joyful thing.
Yes.
I pray for that brother and sister right now who are holding their hands and desiring that you come through for them.
Yes, Lord.
Whatever spirit of darkness that Satan has put upon them to misunderstand each other, Lord, we rebuke that evil cloud. May it move away in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Let peace and joy reign in their hearts. Let them know that they can start a new page.
Yes, Lord.
Joy can grow and thrive in their family. Yes, Lord. Their marriage can be grounded on knowledge.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
I pray, Heavenly Father,
thank you, Father.
That, Lord, through listening to this message, they will receive a testimony.
Yes, Lord.
And yes, Lord, that we will be able to receive that testimony from them of what you've done for them.
Yes, Lord.
By believing and applying the biblical principles. In Jesus' name we pray with thanks in our hearts. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord bless you.
All right. Thank you. God bless you.
He leads me, it's enough. I won't cause.